Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. I was just all over Tyler's case too, wasn't I, Tony?
You were.
Because I don't have any patience whatsoever. I can't wait to let things develop and see how they go. I thought for sure Tyler's going to have Maurice Jones-Drew in the opening highlight sequence here. And I forgot we had paired him with Natron Means.
What a great pairing.
Back in the day. That was a pretty damn good pairing right there. One of the best draft picks and one of the best free agent pickups for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maurice Jones-Drew calls it a career. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country in studio with us today. What's up, Alfie? How are you?
I'm doing well. I hate this weather, though.
It's not ideal.
Pick a season.
25 degrees difference in the projected high from yesterday to today, 82 to 57.
That's ridiculous.
It's a little chilly outside, but...
I kind of like it. I always miss this weather when it goes away because I don't especially like 95 and 100% humidity every day. So 50 degrees doesn't bother me. I put on the sweatshirt for
a couple
more
days. Either, but I think what Alfie said, I mean, yesterday you were out there, it was hot. You know,
sweating at a red light.
No, I can tell. Yeah, when the weather changes, I can tell. My head does weird things, and I woke up this morning. I was like, "Yeah, it's colder outside." Like I could just tell from the headache
it just
I had.
My sinuses.
And, yeah. But we're gonna get rain today, a little whatever you call it out there, misting. I think it's we're not gonna get that much over the course of the weekend.
Enjoy Jacksonville.
At least according to what
I'll be
I plan
watching
to
Chappie.
Tee it up. Are you going to watch Chappie?
Yeah, that's the plan this afternoon.
Alfie probably already knows this because Alfie is like-minded like me. We like to look for alternate routes to watch our movies sometimes. Chappie's already available on all your finer websites out there. So don't know about the quality of it, Tony. You know what I did last night? I go on demand. Is that Cecil the Diesel walking down the hallway? There he goes, Cecil Shorts. In the house, still officially a member of the Jaguars. The league year hasn't started yet. I went on demand, and I'm like, Thursday night, I was watching How to Get Away with Murder. Have you watched that one?
Nope.
It's pretty decent. I like it, okay? It's a little, I don't know how to describe it, kind of a little CW17-ish with the age of the cast,
okay.
Even though it's an ABC show. You know, it's a pretty young cast. But so last night, I'm like, hey, let me see what's on demand on the movies. And there's a movie called The Captive. Have you seen this with Ryan Reynolds?
No, but I've heard really good things. Ryan Reynolds.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You may be the only person I've heard say that. Is that right?
He's fantastic.
Was it Green Lantern that did it for you?
No, when he can play the real, like, jokey, sarcastic role, he's perfect for that.
All right.
Which is why he's the perfect guy to play Deadpool.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is Deadpool, and he will play Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds from Blade 3. That's the Ryan Reynolds I like.
So I'm watching The Captive last night. I'm like, man, I must have seen the previews of this. This all seems so familiar. And about halfway through, I'm like, no, I've watched this before. Okay, and it left such an impression on me that I spent another $5 on it last night on demand. I'd give it a C at best. So Maurice Jones-Drew announces his retirement yesterday. We'll get into that. We're keeping our fingers crossed about an hour and 15 minutes from now. We're efforting Mr. Jones-Drew to join us on the phone. And Gus Bradley is going to come down and join us in studio at the same time and talk about Maurice's career and what's going on. There is a lot of other stuff going on right now, you realize. I know you know because I've been reading all your stories at Big Cat Country. Are they going to empty the vault, Alfie? Are they going to be as aggressive as the average Jaguar fan hopes they're going to be?
I truly think so. And I'm usually kind of reserved on free agency on what they're going to do. But, yeah, everybody I've talked to, all the signs point to they're going to go aggressive with
big
this.
Names.
Big names. I think they're going to be major players for Cobb, major players for Julius Thomas. I'm kind of up in the air on Sue. If they do it, awesome. But
you want them to pursue him, right?
Not. It's one of those where I kind of agree with you where it's a lot of money on a position where you're already pretty deep and you kind of have to fit him in. But it's one of those where if they sign it, I'm like, awesome, because he's a top 10 player in the NFL. And if you add a top 10 player, it doesn't matter what you pay.
No. How do you play him, though, if you bring him to Jacksonville?
I think you can do something where you kind of move him around on the line. Some sets you play him at the shaded nose where Roy plays. Some sets you play him at the three. Some sets you play him and Marks together. Some sets you play him where Red is on the outside. So I think he's a guy who realistically can play all three of those spots and play them well and offer you something different that the other guys can't.
You know, he's a guy that we don't know what his motivations are going to be in choosing his next team. A lot of people say he's going to follow the money. Well, just because the Jags have, let's call it $70 million in cap space,
right,
doesn't mean they're going to say, well, we'll give you $30
million. Right.
If everyone's offering you $20 million a year, that's not going to happen. They're going to have a price point on Ndamukong Suh. The problem is in this NFL, with the salary cap rising as much as it is, as much as it went up this season, there half the league has $30 million in cap space. So not that they're all going to choose to try to lure Ndamukong Suh in, but if five or six teams can put in a top dollar kind of bid, a bid that makes him the highest paid defensive player in the league, and then it comes down to necessarily a lot of other factors that he might choose from.
Right, and if you're, we were talking about this before, if you have the same offer on the table from the Dolphins and the Jaguars, you know, realistically, like the fan of me would hope he would see what they're doing here and choose the Jaguars and jump on that, but realistically, the Dolphins are more in position to do like win games and go to the playoffs. So, it's been said it's all about the money, but that the team's going to factor into it as well.
No question. You know, playoff, how close a team's perception is to making the playoffs in the eyes of the player that's being lured.
He's going to be the highest paid defensive player.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he's and look, it's like, you know, when Joe Flacco hits the market after the other quarterbacks, is he the best in the league? Well, he's certainly deserving of a franchise quarterback contract because of his performance in the postseason and how he gets them there every year. And whoever's the last guy to the table gets the best deal.
Right.
That's just the way it works. And honestly, you know, Sue's people are probably looking at the TV contracts that are coming down the line and how much this salary cap's going to even grow bigger. I mean, we're at $140 million plus now. It could be over $160 million.
Yeah, it only went up $10 million this year, and I think that was lower than they initially thought.
That's a pretty big chunk, though,
right.
Still. I mean, we're talking about that's a premium player that every team in the National Football League could bid on.
You know, the best defensive lineman not named J.J. Watt, so...
And you get arguments from some people that he may be as good or better.
I
you know,
can see that.
It's a different position. It's not going to rack up the same kind of stats that does. And I guess the counterpoint argument is like, look, we got, you know, in terms of money invested by this team, got a lot of money invested in that position already for arguably your best player, right? So
and he'll make a fifth of what Sue is.
Oh, right. He's not going to get that. Cedric Marks will not get that kind of money, but. His productivity, I think, last year...
Just as good,
right. So, you know, there are some hidden things, obviously, that defensive tackles can do for you by drawing double teams.
I don't think there's a downside to the Jaguars trying to sign him. I mean, their cap situation is just so comical going forward. It's really...
Comically positive,
yeah. Just how absurd the amount of cap room they're going to have. But there's really no downside to signing him. I don't think he's going to be a player when he gets that big contract, stops playing. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. So, I mean, it's a lot of money, but there's not really a downside to it.
All right, we'll get into that today. Your thoughts, your projections on who they may sign. Also, we'll talk the history of Jaguar free agency, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. I know we're going to get a lot of duplication in this, but I think the tail end of the list is where it's going to get interesting. Today we're asking you, who are the five best free agent signings in team history? Yes, there have been good free agent signings team history, right? I mean,
some of the best players.
We were just talking about
Cedric Marks. He's a fantastic free agent signing.
Absolutely. He's under consideration, you would think, along with a number of other guys. Some of them are obvious and shouldn't be left off any list. But you can share your thoughts with us by tweeting at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Alfie BCC, at 1010XL Tyler. Pick them all. Pick one of them. Just send us your thoughts. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Looking for the five best free agent signings. Not talking about guys that they re-sign themselves, their own free agents. Not guys like Burnell who they acquired in a trade or any other means. Guys who were free agents. And yes, Jimmy Smith counts as a free agent, and you know he's going to be on everybody's list, and that's fine. And so think back over the 20-year history of the Jacksonville Jaguars' pursuit of free agents and which ones stand out to you. We'll take a look at that a little bit later on. As I said, hopeful we're going to bring together Gus Bradley, Maurice Jones-Drew, both coming up in a little over an hour here on Jaguars Today. And we'll get into Maurice's career, where he fits in among the all-time greats. Do you get the sense, and time will heal any wounds that there are out there, but there's a little bit of an undercurrent from some segment of the fan base that Maurice didn't embrace Jacksonville enough or what? You know what I mean? I hear that. There are others. There's tons of people yesterday who said, hey, he was great Jag, pride of the Jaguars, is waiting for him. By the way, you can expect he'll do the whole one-day contract thing, officially retire as a member of the Jaguars at some point this offseason. That will happen for him. But there is some of that, you know, perception, at least, that Maurice was kind of his own guy, was in it for himself. They didn't win enough when he was the key player. To me, I look at it, and you look at all the national media lauding this guy yesterday. When's the next Jaguar to step down that will get anything close to that kind of recognition on that kind of scale?
Regular guests on national radio, on NFL Network, on ESPN.
And putting your franchise, because most of the pictures you're seeing are not him in a Raider uniform, right?
I don't have many highlights of that.
There are not many pictures of that that exist. He didn't score a single touchdown. He got one in the preseason last year. So every one of his, I believe, 81 touchdowns came as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You want to get in and talk about Maurice's career, you're certainly welcome to do that today. Heavy on the free agency once again. 641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get on board. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday, by the way, but you probably already know that by now. When we come back in a moment, we'll take a look at Alfie's wish list and who he thinks that the Jags will actually pursue in addition to who he just wants to see them pursue, and how some of this near $70 million in cap space is going to get spent by Dave Caldwell and company starting next Tuesday. Of course, NFL teams, including the Jags, can officially make contact. That's why I think it's funny right now we're getting the reports such and such team has emerged as the front runner. Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on now.
They have a visit scheduled.
Right. I guess. I guess you can call the agent and set up a visit. That's fine. But the front runner thing almost makes you think some numbers are being floated out there.
Yeah, the official tampering window starts tomorrow.
So the official tampering window is now in effect, so they just moved back the unofficial tampering window. They moved it up a little bit, I guess is the case.
I guess so, yeah.
Maybe. Rampant unofficial tampering going on as we speak. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. It's Jaguars today again on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Alfie Crow here with you at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Alfie Crow here with you from Big Cat Country. I told you, Alfie, this week, Wednesday, I chatted with you digitally, and you said you were available to come in Friday. Wasn't sure about Dave and the health situation yesterday with David Garrard. So I said, tentatively, here's who I got the rest of the week. We had Ryan O'Howard on Wednesday. We had David Garrard Thursday. We had Alfie on Friday. And somebody, Tony, replies to me and says, revised schedule, Wednesday Alfie, Thursday Alfie, Friday Alfie.
Right.
So obviously the pro Alfie contingent weighing in. And then the next tweet I got was just highlighting the Friday Alfie BCC. And the reply was, ooh, gross. So
sounds like my mention. It's pretty normal.
Pretty much the full end of the spectrum. I'm sure they're, you know, that's the way you want to be, though. You don't want a lot of people wishy-washy in the middle on you. They love you, hate you.
It's actually better if more people hate you because you get a lot of hate reads.
Hate mentions and hate buzz.
Hey, as I like to say, hate clicks are still clicks.
They are still clicks. If you're fishing for clicks, you have cornered the hate market here at times, and that's just fine with us. Check out Alfie on Twitter, by the way, as you already know, at AlfieBCC. Big Cat Country is the website where, among other things, recently you wrote an article discussing the 89% rule when it comes to salary cap spending, which I think, Tony, I have a fairly decent grasp on how that works, but we get a lot of questions about it. I would refer people to your article, but why is this not such a big deal for the Jags?
Well, first and foremost, people think that it means that each season a team has to spend, you know, 89% of the cap.
As cash,
which that's a key difference, is it's cash paid out, not necessarily how much your salary cap is. It's how much you're actually paying to the players that season. So when you have a thing like a signing bonus, that all counts the first season. When you have like roster bonuses, all that accounts. But what it is a team has to average 89% cash spending over a cumulative 4-year period. And that's against what the league cap is, not each team's individual cap, because teams have different caps now because of the rollover and all that. But it's the league cap. And if a team doesn't meet that 89% spending, whatever the difference is paid out to the current active players on their own roster.
Right, and that's decided by either the NFLPA, how that's distributed,
right.
I think, right?
Yes.
But so basically, you're either going to spend the money on your roster or you're going to be forced to spend the money on your roster.
Right.
But you're not going to lose draft picks. You're not going to lose any
people
other.
People act like it's some like devastating thing. You don't meet it. The only issue is it's just a negative PR type thing because it makes you appear...
This team's not willing to spend
right,
to win.
It makes you appear cheap. And in some cases, it's hard to hit that because you don't want to just go spend the money to spend the money because that doesn't ever work out. So, you know, I ultimately think the Jaguars will hit it because they have to hit it by end of the 2016 offseason. So basically right before it rolls to the 2017 league season. So March of 2017.
So two more years, you're presuming maybe the Jags, if they really like the development of Blake Bortles, maybe already ready to sign him to a contract extension.
They can't.
After three seasons.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So after, if you're talking about before the 2017 league year kicks in, right, after the 2016, his third season in the league, conceivably,
right.
In that window, they could do a new contract with him, and part of that money would count towards it.
Correct.
So,
I mean, it's not something to really worry about.
Right. So it's not as far as what people say, well, they're going to spend because they have to spend. They're going to spend. Well, you have to spend to compete. No matter how much the perception that they're forcing you to spend, and they are to a certain degree forcing
right.
teams to spend. You can't go and spend 50% of the salary cap because ultimately you're going to have to pay out all that money. You can't get away with something like that. But they want to spend. To compete,
yes.
But they also want it to be frugal the last couple of years. They want it to be, they might not call it frugal, but they want to be smart, do the Derek Marks
fiscally
thing.
Fiscally responsible.
Right. Sign a bunch of guys to 1 and 2 year deals, see who works out, reward those guys with new contracts. It's worked with a few, and you guys highlighted some of that. The TU did a thing on that today where they went through basically every free agent signed under Dave Caldwell, the hits and misses, and how it all worked out. So we'll see coming Tuesday. We've gotten today, as the question is the five best free agent signings, I just got one that was a list of five names that I think is their wish list. I think they're projecting into the future as far as that goes. Sue, let's say they make a big pursuit. Armando Salguero, who's he with? Miami Herald?
Yeah, I think it's the Miami Herald.
He's still with the Herald? Okay. He said that. What he just tweeted out.
He said that the biggest competitor for Sue with the Dolphins is Jacksonville.
See, it's interesting. I don't know if any of these guys have anything other than connecting the dots going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I always assume pre-tampering period, which is tomorrow, that it's just agents
right.
floating stuff out there.
Which is certainly a possibility. And look, even if it's true or not, it benefits your agent to put the team with the most cap space on your trail because that sends a message to Miami and everybody else, hey, you better come strong. You're not going to get this guy. Nobody's going to be scared off out of the bidding. You're going to have to play in the upper tax bracket on this guy. So it'll be fascinating. Can you imagine if they sign three premier guys out of this class and Sue is one of them? Almost doesn't matter who the other two guys are, but who do you think will be the highest on the hit list?
I would think that Devin McCourty would be their number one target because free safety is such a critical part of their cover three defensive scheme because you have to have that guy who can play center field, and they don't really have that right now. So I would think McCourty, Randall Cobb, and Julius Thomas, I would think, are their priorities.
McCourty, Randall Cobb, Julius Thomas. So above Sue, behind Sue?
See, I don't... Like I said, I don't know how much there is in the Sue thing, but I mean, if you want Sue, he's going to have to be your priority. You're going to have to get out in front of that and try to sign him right away because there's going to be 3-4 teams trying to get
him. Do you think it drags out? I mean, or do you think one team comes in with the strongest offer by a couple million bucks a year annual? I mean, we don't know, again, what it's going to take to motivate him to sign.
I would be surprised if Sue is not signed by the end of the day Wednesday.
By the end of the day Wednesday?
Yeah. Okay. It may take 2 days, but I'd be surprised if he's not signed by then.
So many different angles to it. I mean, does he want a place where he can have a platform as an endorser? You know, does he want to play for a New York Giants team that's going to be in more of the national spotlight regardless? I mean, he's already got some national endorsements playing in Detroit.
Right.
Detroit's not the biggest NFL market. It's not the smallest, but it's not a high-profile NFL market, even though it's a big American city. It's not like a New York. Even if the teams aren't any good in New York, there's more
of a focus on you there. Yeah, it's not New York or Miami or something like that.
Right, or eventually when 10 teams are playing in Los Angeles, I think is how it goes.
Yes, yeah, so go play for Oakland.
Who
they'll be there in a year or two.
Do you think Julius Thomas is worth the money?
Maybe. A lot of people like to use the he only did it with Manning argument, but Manning has never had a tight end that has those physical traits, the big, fast, athletic guy. And, you know, 24 touchdowns in 2 years is 24 touchdowns.
In less than two full seasons.
Right.
Because of the time he missed.
I mean, there's definitely risk there, but I think just his natural ability to be a mismatch is an advantage.
He's still getting open.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Manning is delivering the ball accurately.
But still getting open and running by guys and, you know, just a matchup nightmare.
Short area quickness, pretty good downfield speed for his size,
right,
certainly, and pretty damn good hands as well.
Right, and he's a basketball player, so he's going to box guys out and make those tough catches.
And this team needs something in that.
Yes.
You know, not just whether it's tight end or something, they need some dynamic playmaking weapons on offense, and he's certainly, I think, on everybody's short list of candidates. Were you a Charles Clay guy?
I'm a huge Charles Clay guy.
See, I say were, because I think once the transition tag got placed on him.
I'd still do it.
Well, but I don't think, if they do it, I think it's when things settle down after a
like
few
Alex
days.
Mack last year.
Exactly. If you pursue Julius Thomas and he goes to Oakland, it depends on how they feel about Jordan Cameron with the concussion history.
Yeah, that's the big worry.
Can you go and get a cheaper alternative in Niles Paul from Washington? So once it depends on how they feel about these guys, but once they exhaust that list, otherwise I don't think they go that route, because I think Tony and I agree, you're just probably negotiating for the Miami
and
Dolphins.
It also depends on what Miami does, because if Miami ends up signing Sue, they don't have a ton of cap room right now, and they also have to figure the future in re-signing Ryan Tannehill.
They could pull the tag back.
Right, they could pull the tag back, or they could be like, well, we just can't. You can structure it in a way to where you don't think they'll be able to match it.
That's true.
And so you can, if you wait, you can wait that out and do that. With the Browns last year, they just had so much cap room, it didn't really matter what you offered Alex Mack.
Are you a Cobb guy compared to any other receiver out there? Is he the right fit for what they want to do offensively?
I think so, because he's so dynamic in what he does. He can play inside or outside. He can play out of the backfield. He can return kicks. And I think he's one of those guys where he runs a lot of those shorter routes, but once he gets the ball in his hand, he's a threat to make the play bigger than it already is, and they don't really have anyone like that.
Potentially Marquise Lee.
Potentially, but I think Marquise is still kind of that flanker guy who's going to play on the outside and be your downfield threat, but Cobb just does so much, and he's almost like he could be almost a security blanket for Bortles, and you do those short check-down type passes that he can turn them into big plays.
So next Thursday, you're saying we're going to have a three-person press conference, potentially. could you imagine? I mean, sir, there's never – and the Jags, and we'll highlight some of the hits, obviously, that they've had the best free agent signings today, but they've never had a day close to that kind
of
impact.
And that's what's kind of insane about this free agency period, is all signs point to them actually trying to do that. Even – Caldwell was on the radio last night saying he wants blue chippers. And I mean, that to me says, and them hiring a salary cap guy in Idzik, they're going to go spend some money.
Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL, yeah. Mm-hmm. 92.5 FM. By the way, there's some great mystical irony in Gene Smith working for the Jets and John Idzik working in this very
hired?
Building. I, you know what? I really don't know. But that was the story at the time, that he was going to work, like, I don't know, in the scouting department or whatever it was going
to
be.
Yeah, I think he was going to be like the right-hand man to the GM.
Great.
Yeah. Jets, you don't want that.
No, well, you wouldn't think, but look, as a Jets fan, you'd say, let's look at John Idzik's track record. Right now, he's not going to be making the decisions. He's being brought in for a specialty, which dealing with the
when
numbers.
When that report came out, there were so many Jets fans like laughing, and I'm like, he's being hired as a salary cap guy, which is what got him hired as a GM. He's not cutting players.
Right.
So
right, and neither would Gene Smith be in New York, but it's just ironic that it almost can be looked at as a one-for-one swap as far as that goes.
Speaking of Gene, like the best thing he ever did was not draft players good enough for a second contract.
Right, because now you're not tied up, you're not bloated.
They don't have anyone to re-sign. I mean, they'll probably re-sign Tyson Alualu, but it's not going to be anything big. Next year, unless you want to re-sign Scobie, you don't really have anyone else to give a contract to, so...
Interesting at all to you that they haven't re-signed Tyson or JT Thomas or any? They haven't struck a deal with any of these guys?
I think JT Thomas is a restricted free agent, so they only have to put whatever tag they want to put on him before free agency officially starts. Alualu, I think, will probably get done over the weekend before Tuesday. If not, I mean, he might get picked up somewhere else, but I think he kind of has that niche role here where he knows exactly what he's going to do and they're familiar with him, that it's not a big rush.
We saw Cecil Shorts just a moment ago walking by the studio, and Cecil's a phenomenal guy. I'll root for him wherever he goes, and I know some people saw his comments yesterday, and I don't know how they interpreted them. I think, you know, they're just honest. I don't think he was taking a shot at the organization. He's like, look, I'm a guy like many. I come from a very successful college program. Even though it was a small school, they dominated at his level of play.
I think they only lost like twice.
I think they were 57-3, he said, in his tenure. So he said basically, look, I'm fed up with it. I'm frustrated with the losing.
And everybody here should be. That's not a bad mentality to have.
Right. It wasn't like, hey, I'm so much better than the situation I've been in. Right. I think he was just saying, look, I just want to win. I don't care. To me, it's not as much about the money. They all want the best contract they can get. Is that completely out the window? Because he was one of the guys at the combine, along with Alan Ball, we haven't mentioned, that they at least wanted to see where they stood and we maybe have interest up to this level. Go test the market. If you don't find what you're looking for, if it's the right fit, and depending on what else we do in free agency.
I think that's what it's going to be with Alan Ball and Shorts, in that. You know, if they land a guy like Cobb, I think no. If they aren't able to land a guy like Cobb and it takes a few days and some of the other receivers go elsewhere, then I think you almost kind of have to, because you need like a veteran guy there because they're all kids right now.
Yeah, to me, the great likelihood if Cecil Shorts were to return would be on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
I think, where he'd come back, because, again, money doesn't mean everything, but Marquise Lee's the only guy anywhere near like a $1.5 million in terms of
receiver
money.
They're spending
money.
Like no money at receiver.
Right. So if you go out, obviously, if you sign Julius Thomas and Randall Cobb, they become the focal point of your passing game.
Right.
Right. No, that's no apologies to Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. Catch up, but these guys are where they are.
It helps them.
You would hope, right? It draws coverage away. But I would imagine as Cecil, you know, if he were going to sign a 2 or 3 year deal, he's going to, let's say it was 3 years, $5 million. It still makes him the highest paid receiver on your football team. So I think it would be a very low, kind of like a 1 year, $1 million kind of
prove you can stay healthy.
You know, this will help us maybe, but it'll also give you a chance to, you know, rehab your stock a little bit before you hit the market again.
Right.
Marquise Lee, by the way, trying to sue Lloyd's of London. I don't blame him. Good luck is right. $94,000 he spent when he was in college. Now, college teams are allowed to take out insurance policies, so I don't know if it was him that did this or through
he
the school.
Probably didn't pay for it.
Right. $94,000 seems like a lot of cash, but he's suing Lloyd's of London because he said the policy, in part, protected a fall out of the first round of the draft. If he fell below the point where he'd get like a $9.5 million rookie contract, that due to injury, that they would, I guess, make up the difference or whatever,
right.
You know, is what he paid for. And his total contract is worth less than $6 million, still a good bit of money, but not what he was expecting to make. The problem is proving that all 32 teams passed on you in the first round because of that injury and not because, the class was just loaded with outstanding receiving talent, which it was last year.
And
so.
And like we talked before, you're going to have to get someone to go on record saying they would have picked you in the first round if not for
that. Were it not for that. All right. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll get to your calls next. 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Alfie Crow here with you. 641-1010 is the number if you want to talk free agency. Who do you want to see the Jags target? Final day of the week to discuss it. And by Monday, we'll be on the eve of free agency opening up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Could you imagine a Sue Cobb Thomas trifecta, or do you even allow yourself to dream that big for the Jacksonville Jaguars when it comes to free agency? Also coming up, hopefully in about 40 minutes or so, we're efforting a chance to talk with the now retired Maurice Jones-Drew. 8 years as a Jacksonville Jaguar, 3 years he was a Pro Bowler, led the league in rushing, of course, in one of his best seasons, or the best season of his career, one of his last seasons here in Jacksonville, and after 1 year in Oakland, hanging up the spikes and calling it a career. Gus Bradley scheduled to pop in with us as well in about 40 minutes here. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars today, 641-1010 if you want to get on board on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars today every Friday, and since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serves as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They've got the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and absolutely no dealer fees. An on-site body shop that'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars today. Plenty of little news and notes bits out there. We'll get to those coming up momentarily. Speaking of 642-5111, the 111 made me think we were talking about before the show. It'll always be easy. We looked it up the other day, Tony, to remember Maurice Jones-Drew's yardage total in the National Football League. Five ones. 11,111 total yards. Maurice Jones-Drew announcing his retirement yesterday. I mean, it doesn't take much to see how this went down. No. First of all, two teams pursued him last year in the offseason. Pittsburgh, who said, if you come in, you're just Le'Veon Bell's going to tell us when he needs a breather, and that's when you'll see the field. There was no question which way it was going. And then Oakland, which presented him a chance to compete for a starting job, and just couldn't get going with them. Banged up in the preseason, not ancient by some standards, but certainly injuries and wear and tear caught up with him. And you get the clear picture, I think, that Jack Doria said, look, you're not going to be in our plans. We want to let you know now. So we're going to release you or leave it in your hands how you want to do it. If you want to go through free agency again, I honestly don't know if Maurice Jones-Drew would have got a contract offer from anybody.
He may have, in season if there's injuries.
Sure.
But, yeah, running back's one of those positions where when it goes, it just completely goes. And that Liz Frank injury Jones-Drew had here, and then he had the partial MCL tear, just too many lower leg injuries.
As far as Jacksonville goes, Jimmy Smith, Tony Boselli, Fred Taylor.
I think he's a top 10 franchise player.
Oh, he's a top 10 for sure.
Five, you could kind of argue.
He's on the border, right?
Yes.
I mean, I would probably put Brunell ahead of him.
I would.
The reason I do is because Brunell, individually, three Pro Bowls for him, three for Maurice, and the team success with Mark was so much greater. Granted, I get it. He had a lot of help around him. But I think you could debate those guys if you want to. I think you could debate him and Keenan McCardell if you want to. Good debate on either side. Outside of that group, and Jimmy, Fred, and Tony, and whatever order you like them, are the top three, period.
Right.
Sixth at the worst, by my reckoning.
I mean, he was so good.
Who's the best defensive player in Jaguar history?
I would have a healthy debate between Tony Brackens and Darryl Smith.
Is it longevity versus brilliance?
Yeah, I think Darryl Smith was so good for so long. Just he wasn't the flash guy, but he was super reliable. He rarely ever messed up, and he made plays. And Brackens was really the only true where is that guy at on the field as a pass rusher that he ever had. And he was so good for that short span.
Yeah, Kevin Hardy was a double-digit sack guy, but Brackens, I agree, was more of that guy. It wouldn't, I mean, there's no clear-cut number one.
No. And where does Rasheed fit in that argument?
He's in the conversation.
I think the end of his career, he gets a bad rap.
Keep looking, this guy keeps playing.
Yeah. And he was good last year.
He was good last year, and he's I think he's 34 years old now, and I saw within the last couple weeks him saying, yeah, I'm ready to go, ready to roll for another year.
I think the last couple years here, he kind of got a bad rap because the safety play was just so bad.
I was told that directly by some of the guys on the coaching staff that you know, Reggie Nelson is really making Rasheed look bad.
Well, you could tell, like, Rasheed would turn and he would have the oh no panic,
right, oh, where's the guy who's supposed to pick
and
this
he
guy
would
up?
Go flying after the receiver, and it looked like he got burned, but right. He's just releasing him to the where the safety's supposed to be, who's not there.
Yeah. But Maury certainly in the mix for the top half dozen players. And I think we would all agree, ultimately, we'll be in the pride of the Jaguars.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Now, you know, you can argue that. You could argue Brunell going in the pride of the Jaguars.
See, I would put Maurice in over Brunell. I think Brunell was good, but I think he's one of the most overrated players the Jaguars have ever had.
Really?
I think he's the best quarterback they've had. And he was the first good quarterback they've had. And I think the nostalgia of that kind of...
Possibly.
Because you go look at his numbers. I mean,
right.
How did he only throw 20 touchdowns?
With those two receivers. And, you know,
and
Pete Mitchell.
Fred Taylor and right, Pete Mitchell.
Right. And the rest of the backs that he had.
And Searcy and Baselli.
It was... Wasn't Mark, what, his 20? Was that the highest
he's
ever done?
Yeah, 20 was the record until Gerard broke it.
I know. 20 was the record for a long time. Yeah, it's still an abysmally low franchise record.
Was it 23 now?
Yeah. In this modern era. To have that be your franchise mark
is
pretty bad.
That's like an average.
Mark, though, had that,
now.
Was it 96? He threw for 4,300 yards.
Right. He always threw for a lot of yards, and he had a lot of the most memorable plays in franchise history.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that carries it. But to me, like, the pride should be borderline, like, Hall of Fame type guy. And Maurice isn't that, but he was so good in that little stretch with him and Fred Taylor, and then right after Fred Taylor left, that, you know, he's a all-pro, multi-pro bowler, and it wasn't like the back door into the Pro Bowl. He was legitimate Pro Bowler. But yeah, I think he'll, if Brunell's up there, he should definitely be up there.
By the way,
go ahead, Tyler.
Brunell's only had 4 double-digit touchdown seasons.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was a 3-time Pro Bowler during that span. Probably part of that because of the team success, but fairly and unfairly, you get a little more credit for that team success when you're the quarterback.
That's the quarterback.
And that's just the way it is. And I think he had, look, again, like you said, a lot of memorable moments from Mark Brunell.
And this isn't to say he was bad. He was still the best quarterback.
Right. You're talking about what level should that be at? You know, the Green Bay Packer Ring of Honor, you have to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to get in there. Who are we talking to, Tony, the lineman from...
Dave Robinson.
We're talking to Dave Robinson, who's in the Packer Hall of Fame. But who's the other guy? Jerry Kramer, right? Who played on that line and is not in the Hall of Fame. We talked to Dave Robinson at the Super Bowl, and he's like, that was one of the biggest thrills for me when I found out I was going to the Canton, which meant I could finally go into the Packers Ring of Honor. Because they literally, you have to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
There's some teams who they put, like, just any old guy on there.
Right.
And it was cool listening to Robinson because he was genuinely excited because he had waited so long to get into the Hall of Fame and to finally be inducted and be able to go back to Lambeau and they're retiring
his name
number.
Up there is,
I mean, it's
unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable for that guy.
And I think it will be like that here. It's just they're so young as a franchise still that you don't want to put too many names up there too fast.
True, but I think that... Kind of that horse has left the barn to some degree.
Yeah, kind of has.
You know what I mean? And look, I get it. If you're ownership and you're thinking, look, we got to have something here, right, to rally the troops a little bit. There are a lot more things to rally the troops about now. What are your thoughts just the State of the Jaguar press conference and the unveiling of the hopeful plans for the shipyard area, the practice facility and all that?
I love it. I love the shipyard idea. I'm in Riverside and San Marco a lot, and we always talk about how there's never, unless there's an event, there's no real reason to go downtown, and that gives a reason to go downtown and spend the day and do stuff. And I'm 32 and I can't ever remember anything being where the shipyards are.
Right.
So I mean it's desperately needed, and I think that'll I mean, we all know that they're not moving to Los Angeles, or we don't think they're going to move to London, but that's still out there. But if he goes and does something like that, that just solidifies it, you know, even more.
Yeah, I would imagine
it'll still be there, but
right, there's still going to be some of that, but it's kind of foolish at that point. People are just not paying attention
right.
to what's going on. All right, we're hoping that we get a special guest to join us coming up in the next hour. But coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to clear the way for any potential guests to join us on Jaguars Today. We've got the state in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, and an early edition of the Friday Top 5. We'll give you our top 5 free agent acquisitions all time by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll do it next right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. All these are the lean times. We'll be saying in future years on this date in football history, Alfie Crow joined us in studio on Jaguars Today. That's right. It's pretty thin is what we've got. 1972, Jamal Anderson, the Dirty Bird.
Woo!
Jamal Anderson, not the wannabe pass rushing Jamal Anderson, signed or was born, obviously went on to play with the Atlanta Falcons, had an 8-year career highlighted by a season in 1998 where he ran 410 times for 1,846 yards and promptly tore his knee up, I believe, the next year. I think that was the injury. I think he tore an ACL.
Yeah.
Only appeared in 2 games the following season. Did bounce back in 2000 to have one more 1,000-yard year. That was the fourth of his career. By the age of 29, he was out of the league. Very similar, really, to Maurice Jones-Drew. Wasn't used as a full-time guy early on. Maurice was used much more
right.
than Jamal Anderson was, but then hit his stride for about a 3-year period where he was the primary ball carrier.
It is weird how there's that magic number of touches in a season.
Right.
It seems like any time a running back hits that, it just goes off a cliff.
Historically, for the most part, it's been almost 100% accurate.
It's a long offseason. It is weird that number would exist.
Right.
Like, you would think it wouldn't matter.
And it's almost every time a guy hits that number, it just dumps off a cliff.
And that's why there's some trepidation about DeMarco Murray. 392 carries. You add in the catches that he had last year. Not over 400 carries, but close enough. He's touching the ball, of course, behind a pretty damn good offensive line. Jamal Anderson, happy birthday to the Dirty Bird, 43 years young today. And this state football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Whether you're in the market for a family dentist, need cosmetic work done, maybe the custom fit SomnaMed Stop Snoring Mouth Guard, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, we've mentioned a lot of different running backs in anticipation of free agency. Running back Shane Vereen, who caught 11 passes in the Patriots Super Bowl 49 win over the Seattle Seahawks last month, is going to be a free agent. It was reported that Vereen may be looking for $5 million a season, but word out now that he may actually be looking something more in the range of $3.5 million a year. Peyton Manning took a $4 million pay cut this year that he can get back via incentives throughout the season. New Orleans Saints wide receiver Marquise Colston and the team have reportedly renegotiated his contract with the team. As we mentioned yesterday, the Saints are trying to get down to this year's cap number, one of the few teams struggling to do so. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay said on Twitter that the team will not be re-signing wide receiver Reggie Wayne, and the Colts are having former Eagles offensive lineman Todd Harriman's in for a visit.
All right, how about that? How about Shane Vereen? Anybody interested in Shane Vereen? I mean, the Jags need a first and second down guy.
I was about to say he's one of the best third down backs in the league.
Right,
again.
But if that's the cost, and it, depending on how you're going to plan to use Toby Gerhardt this year, well, who do you want? Catching passes out of the backfield, Shane Vereen or Toby Gerhardt?
Well, sure, and he can play in the slot too. Like he can go out wide for you. So if you don't sign a guy like
Randall Cobb spot,
right, or somebody like that. Like if that falls through for you, because Vereen's going to be kind of that second wave of free agency. It feels like if that doesn't work for you, then maybe you consider signing a guy like Vereen because he can give you a little bit of both worlds.
All right, fan feedback spotlight asking you today, who are the 5 best free agent signings in Jaguar team history? We've compiled our lists. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm cheating on mine.
And yeah, you already told me.
That's okay. So let's roll the countdown.
Number 5.
Come on.
5.
5.
5. 5. 5. 5. 5.
Five.
Number five.
All right, I expect a lot of duplication here between our lists. I have a feeling we haven't compared notes. But Alfie, starting out the countdown with number five, working our way up. Who's the number five free agent signing for the Jags all time?
For me, it'll probably be a surprise, but I have Deion Grant.
Deion Grant, that is a surprise. How come?
Make the case. I thought he was a really good safety for the team for a while until Del Rio kind of ran him out. But, okay. They've been trying to replace him since he left.
All right, Deion Grant, nicely done.
Number five for me is Mike Peterson, who was in the middle of that defense in that mid-2000s run for this team. Obviously, he had the luxury of playing behind Henderson and Stroud, but still a fantastic player. And on top of that, he's a guy that you sign in free agency away from a division rival in the Indianapolis Colts in the prime of his career. Had, I think it was six seasons here in Jacksonville, roaming the middle of that Jaguars defense. He comes in at number five for me.
Well, we'll have to ask Jack where he would rank Mike Peterson on that list. I'm going to go with number five with the best player currently on the Jacksonville Jaguars, Cedric Marks, came in and I thought played at a Pro Bowl level. It's tough to just measure it on Pro Bowls, but it's a factor. But you're not going to get as much notice and acclaim playing in Jacksonville. Who knows if he doesn't get hurt? Maybe he can sneak into the conversation last year as even an alternate, what have
you.
Well,
if he wasn't hurt, he would have gone.
You think he? Oh, yeah. He would have gone. Yeah. Okay, so I've got Cedric Marks. Played great his first season. Earned a second contract, played even better, significantly better in his second season, and hopefully a lot more to come. So despite only being here for 2 years so far, I put some Cedric Marks at number five on the countdown. And, let's move along.
One, two, three, four.
Two, three, four.
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 Number four.
Number four for me, and actually, real quick, an NFL note. The Chicago Bears have apparently agreed to trade wide receiver Brandon Marshall to the New York Jets, pending a physical.
What did I tell you?
You called it.
I called it right before the show.
I had to check because it was Adam Schefter. I was like, is it Adam? Darn. Like, yeah. I clicked it just to make sure it is actually Adam Schefter.
Bye, Percy.
Tweeting that out right now.
So. That's what I said before the show. Would you rather take a contract that pays him less than $8 million a year?
Right.
Or you could have Percy Harvin for $10 million a year. Give me Brandon Marshall. And
but there's that. For me, number four, I went with Leon Searcy, who was one of the missing pieces for that team to make that run from 96 to 99. We talked to him last week.
Guys, friend of the program.
Still has a chip on his shoulder after all these years, and that attitude and that aggressiveness certainly showed up on the field for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, playing right tackle opposite of Tony Boselli, and really with a left-handed quarterback playing that blindside tackle for as effectively as he did for that many years for this team. Leon Searcy, number four for me.
I've got Paul Posluszny at number four, and I can flip him with Cedric Marks if you want to. Stop it. 4 years, he's been to a Pro Bowl. Is he the rangiest linebacker in the league? No. But I thought the season before this past one was the best of his career. I think he's been what the Jags expect him to be when he came in, which is a high-volume tackle guy, great locker room, great leadership-type guy. The fact that there's really not even any talk whatsoever from the team or any speculation that they're going to get rid of that deal, that he's probably overpaid on at this point because of what he means to the culture of what they're trying to build here, I think says a lot for him. But I got Paul in at number four.
At four, I have Mike Peterson. He was the heart of that defense for a while. He did have Stroud and Henderson in front, but you know he was the leader on that team. He came in, was immediately took hold of that defense, and was the face of that defense for a while.
All right, let's get to the top three.
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 One, two, three.
Freak.
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 Three. Number three.
All right, number three. You guys have already mentioned him, Mike Pete. You can't have a list of the best five free agent signings by the Jags without him on it, in my opinion. Everything you guys said, I echo. 6 years, and I've never come across a single player who enjoyed playing his former team more than Mike Peterson did. I mean, just really would be the whole week was a process of building up this anger and frustration level and this disbelief that they could let this guy go after only 4 years when he was a very good player in Indy. So Mike Pete cracks my top three.
When he went to the Falcons, they went and let him practice when they had the joint practice here.
Oh, because he would have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he was. Yeah. And you can respect that. At least I certainly do.
Number three for me is Leon Searcy. Probably the best right tackle the team's ever had. Came in, was that missing piece, like Tony said, and not anything bad about his signing.
Tony?
Number three for me, Gary Walker. three seasons here in Jacksonville, 22 and a half sacks from the defensive tackle position. He was an absolute monster. I know it was short term with him. He came into with the team in 99, but was here 99, 2000, 2001. 22 and a half sacks in 3 years from the defensive tackle position. Cedric Marks has to get to double digits next year to match that. That's how good he was here in Jacksonville for that 3 year period. And again, another guy that you're taking from a division rival in Tennessee. He played his first 2 years with Houston, second two with Tennessee, before he came here and went back to Houston. But for me, number three is Gary Walker.
G-Funk getting some love. That brings us to the top two.
One, two.
One, two.
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 Two, right?
Two.
Twice.
The second.
Two.
Two.
Number two.
All right, Alfie, number two.
Since I didn't cheat, number two for me is Keenan McCardell. I think that's pretty obvious.
Everyone's number two is Keenan McCardell in reality.
Super consistent, always knew how to find the hole in the zone, and an amazing dresser.
And yes, he was very proud of his outfits.
Yeah, he's number two on everybody's list except apparently some guy for NFL.com who I saw a list of the top 25 free agent signings of all time.
He was number 14 of all time.
Right. Keenan was 14.
Jimmy was not on the
Jimmy
list.
Jimmy wasn't on the list. Yeah. I was like,
I don't think many people realize Jimmy was
right.
a free agent.
That's insane.
Maybe
but
that's
number
it.
Two for me, Keenan McCardell, yeah. obviously. I mean, those two guys run together, and they'll be running
They're running together on my list here in a second.
Right.
But number two in my cheating ways, I went with Leon Searcy, four seasons, Pro Bowler. I don't think there's any question he's the best right tackle in the history of the franchise. And loved what he said last week. Like, he was like, what's all this Bocelli talk, man? I'm pretty good here, too. And that really motivated him, and they push each other to be great. So that's my number two.
That story he told was great. I'm buying his book now.
Oh, wasn't it fantastic?
I
mean, yeah, Leon was a lot of fun, and hopefully that he picks up a publisher, and we'll all pick up a copy of that book, which brings us to the top of the countdown.
Four.
Two.
One.
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 One. Number one.
I mean, an argument can be made that he's the best player in the franchise's history, and they happen to get him in free agency. It's Jimmy Smith, and there's really nothing else that needs to be said. He was so dynamic on the field for this team, and for a guy to come from where he came from and to put up the numbers he did, he comes in as a kick returner basically after missing 2 years in the league. Unbelievable career for Jimmy. Number one with a bullet.
Yeah, number one for me, I just put him at co-number ones because they're inseparable, and I wanted to get more people on the list as well. Jimmy Smith is number one. Keenan McCardell is 1B, however you want to look at it. As great as Jimmy was, Keenan should not be overshadowed much by him. 499 receptions for 6,300 plus yards, nearly 6,400 and 30 touchdowns just in Jacksonville. And played 17 years in the National Football League.
He was productive in Cleveland, too.
He was super productive in Tampa. Didn't he score two touchdowns in their Super Bowl victory?
I think so.
I want to say he did. So Keenan McCardell, who was a man without a team when Cleveland up and left town.
Yeah.
And the Jags were the beneficiaries of that. So I put both Thunder and Lightning at the number one spot.
Yeah. Jimmy Smith, number one for me. As you said, they were the perfect complement, but Jimmy was that big play guy, always getting plays down the field. There was that one game against Baltimore where he had like 8,000 receiving yards, and they just could not stop him.
What did he have? Was it 287, 291? It was right in the 290-ish.
It was something absurd.
Range. He had 15 catches that day. And he had 62 fantasy points in my PPR league. I'll tell you that right now. I remember it well because I had him on my team back in the day. Jimmy Smith, number one on everybody's list, or should be. Keenan, not that far behind.
No.
And some other great ones in there as well. Continue to share your thoughts with us on Twitter. We'll go through some of the ones we may have overlooked that you liked in your top five. And just word to our friends in the UK, okay, particularly Mr. Kristoff there, Mark Burnell, was a trade acquisition, all right? Mm-hmm. You're better than that, Kristoff. Come on. All right, coming up next, it looks like we're going to have a few minutes with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley, and hopefully as well a now-retired running back, Maurice Jones-Drew, coming your way in about 10 minutes. So stick around for that. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Alfie Crow here with you. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming up here in just moments, you should know that, if you follow the Jaguar Twitter account. I'm sure you do, at Jaguars. Gus Bradley going to pop into the studio in about 5 minutes, and we'll be joined on the line by Maurice Jones-Drew, longtime Jacksonville Jaguar, announced
cool.
his retirement yesterday. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to have both those guys on at the same time.
Can we get Del Rio on, too? Right? And just say, hey,
what about Malarkey?
Well, what happened, Jack? What happened out in Oakland that this is not going to continue? Yeah, I don't know. We could probably do without Malarkey.
I don't think anyone wants to talk to Malarkey.
I'm just guessing. Where is he now? He's somewhere.
He's a tight ends coach for the Titans.
That's right.
They blocked him from interviewing for an OC job.
Nice. Because that's the way to hire quality coaches in the future, to stand in the way of progress. Hey, I get, look, that's their prerogative. That's why they put it in the
Titans
contract.
Do poorly, I'm happy.
Hey, look, a lot of people bitch about Doug Marrone leaving Buffalo the way he did. Don't put it in the contract. Don't give him the power to leave if you don't
Buffalo
think
fans
you might
are
exercise
still
it.
Mad about that.
I'd be mad about it.
When they made that trade, I tweeted something yesterday when they made the Castle trade that Doug Marrone was smart to leave, and Buffalo fans were furious.
Well, they should be giddy now. They may be furious at you and the Jag fan base, but
they hate them some Doug Marrone.
They well, I get it. You would too, though. If the roles were reversed, you'd probably feel the same way.
Well, if he was so bad, then I'd be happy he was gone.
I don't think it's that he was so bad. It's that they feel like
they're jilted.
Walked out. Right, exactly. I mean, because you know
they got dumped.
Honestly, I think the biggest mistake that Doug Marrone made, or the worst thing he did,
EJ
in the way left. Right, you got to play. Well, you got to play him in week 17.
Yes.
You're out of it now. You blew it in week 16. You owe it to the franchise to play EJ Manuel, I thought, at that point in time, because, you know, it's one last kind of dress rehearsal to see what you got. Obviously, doesn't look like Rex Ryan's too enamored with what he's seen on the film.
Nor should he be.
As he's went out and acquired Matt
Castle.
That
was the first time watching the draft where someone made a pick that made me laugh in a while. When EJ Manuel got picked.
Oh, yeah. It certainly was surprised. But was it more surprising than Christian Ponder? It's hard to say.
No, I think most people expected Ponder to be a first-round pick.
12 was a little high, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that was like is kind of on the borderline. But then you think about it. Christian Ponder kept EJ Manuel on the bench
right.
for several years. So either way, maybe a cautionary tale. For the Bucs with Jameis Winston. I don't buy into that whole philosophy.
I don't either.
This school's never produced a good whatever. Penn State never produced a good running back until Larry Johnson came
right.
along. It didn't mean he was bad. But you have seen in the last couple of days Ron Jaworski and Greg Cosell both find flaws.
Ron Jaworski said Colin Kaepernick might be the greatest quarterback
he,
ever.
He
like
could
a
be
year
an all-timer.
Ago.
Right. He did say he could. He said that after his breakout campaign that he may, if he continues to develop, may go down as one of the all-time greats in the National Football League. But
chill out.
Didn't like some of the mechanical issues he saw and decision-making that he saw. Greg Cosell chimed in on that as well. Hey, they may be right. You never know. I mean,
and I think some of those guys, if you watch it for long enough, they have a clear type of quarterback that they prefer, and I think that kind of affects what they see a little bit.
Right. As we said, coming up in a few minutes, Maurice Jones-Drew expected to call in from California and spend a few minutes here talking about his career. But in the meantime, we've got the maestro of the roster and the team, Mr. Gus Bradley, joining us in studio, head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars. How are you, Gus?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good to see you. Your thoughts yesterday when you heard Maurice was hanging up the cleats?
Wow. I mean, it really made me reflect back, not only the games and, you know, the practices and things like that, but just how we engage with each other. You know, our conversations, the multiple conversations we had, and, you know, just a really, really, really enjoyed working with him and, you know, really hold him in high regard.
How important is it to have a handful of veterans like that have been around that still are the most intense guys in your locker room? You know what I mean? Like guys that maybe could have gotten beaten down by their years in the league, but and the lack of winning, you know, collectively throughout his career. But he was always one of the most intense competitors you're ever going to find.
That's when I walked in the building. That's exactly what I saw. Intense competitor, compete at everything. But going back to the veterans in the locker room, they're extremely important now. As long as they take on that responsibility, and that's what Mojo did.
All right, let's get to it now. Give me a wish list. Who are you signing on Tuesday?
Ryan, you told me.
I'm kidding. We know you're not giving up the scoop. Is it fun for you though? Like as you sit back and you like, you know, you can be a player. You know, you're not going to go. Yeah, you still have to be somewhat responsible, but there's nobody out of your price range. You can afford anybody, and. You know, fans are giddy right now because you're going to get some new talent. I would imagine you're looking forward to an infusion of talent as well.
Well, it is. It is exciting. Believe me. I mean, to go through it and the meetings and the scouts and Dave, they've worked tremendously hard, our coaching staff. So, yeah, you're at that point. I think it's a good point. We want to help players or get players that come in and believe what we believe and help us get better and, you know, really add to our team. But we have to make good decisions. We have to, you know, we have a responsibility to our fan base, to our organization, to make the right decisions. And that's what we're going through now. But clearly, a lot of guys out there.
I'm sure there are a lot of assistant GMs out there that would help you make those decisions. I don't know if you get that feedback, but we certainly get it in a big way. How's it been going integrating the new coaches onto the staff? How's that process
been? It's been great. You know, sit in with the offense and defense and to go through. You know, I think, as you know, we talked about earlier when we hired these, you know, are they going to be able to mesh together? And just my time sitting in with the offense and going through everything, they've done it. Greg Olson and Doug Marone, Nathaniel Hackett, Kelly Skipper. I mean, just a tremendous job integrating. And I give a lot of credit to the staff, you know, like the Ron Miltons, the Frank Selfos, Jerry Sullivan, Luke Buckus, you know, for helping that whole process. But it's been a lot of fun, a lot of different challenges that we're going through, and really trying to build this team the right way.
Gus Bradley here with us in studio for a couple minutes, awaiting any moment now. Maurice Jones-Drew is going to check in. Longtime Jaguar. Obviously, one day we all expect he'll go into the pride of the Jags, probably do the one-day contract at some point or officially retire as a member of the organization. I would expect things like that to go down in his stead. But as you look now with what you're working with going into year two, Blake Bortles hitting all the check marks of what you wanted to see in year one, what kind of a leap forward are you expecting in year two out of Blake?
Well, you know what? Just a little bit of conversation we can have. You know, we can't talk football with
sure.
these guys, but just talking to some of the people that you know where he's at and what he's doing. I mean, this guy, we're really pleased with his offseason. I mean, he's competing, throwing, you know, 3-4 times a week with the right people. And, what I'm hearing is he wants to get the receivers together, meet up, and then, you know, start getting after this. And, yeah, very, very excited about, what he'll bring to the table when he comes back for OTAs.
He should probably wait until after next week and see if there are new receivers he'd like to get together with. I don't know. Last week I ran into you in the hallway when we had John in sitting in with us, big Jaguar fan, and without sure. getting into all the details of it, you're talking about the difference between needing to win and wanting to win and how that affects your team's approach. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think, you know, you want to make, you know, we're all about growth. And, you know, and I think there's sometimes, you know, where people get, they go, okay, Gus, this is good. We're following the process. But, you know, when are we going to start seeing results? You know, and that's what we're looking for. But, you know, I do know this with, we were talking, I think the conversation you had was a growth mindset versus fixed mindset. What gives you the greatest opportunity to be successful and to reach your objective. And, just the research we've done, by far growth mindset, you know, and those are things that, you know, like we want to win. Okay, well, therefore we want to win, so let's make good decisions. Let's be extremely competitive. And, you know, wanting to win is urgency. You know, let's have some urgency to do the right things, but let's not get out of whack now. Let's, you know, we're building this thing and we're putting it together. We know we're going to build it with some youth through the draft. We're going to implement and capture some free agents to help us with the process. We've got another opportunity now, so let's go about it that way. I think when you need to win, it's clearly how you define it. But in our mindset, needing to win, sometimes that leads to irrational decisions, panic. It's all focused on the outcome, and all of a sudden you go, okay, let's do this then. Let's do this. Well, that's not what we need. We've done a good job of building this through the draft and that, and it's put us in this position to, make good decisions, I guess is how we look at it.
I think one thing that you and Dave Caldwell have done is really embrace the beyond football aspect of this franchise, you know, connecting with the fan base. You talk about it all the time with your players and stuff like that. Fans are really excited from what they saw with the presentation, with the state of the franchise, where things could be headed, the shipyard development, the continued emphasis on improving everything to make it better for the fans. How excited do you get when you see that stuff? Because there are a lot of coaches, I think they're like, just give me the X's and O's. I don't need the distraction of anything else.
No, I think it's great. You know, we say we always compete in everything. This is hard because I'm a pretty open book, transparent, and there's part of me like say, okay, hold on. Here's what's going on. You know, here's what we're doing. You know, I can say this: Dave, Shad, myself, our staff. This is a tied, unified effort into doing this right, and we're all on the same page. That's exciting. There's part of me like say, hey, we're competing now. We have a plan, and we are going to go after things aggressively. And I would like to share more because I do think that the fans deserve that. But they're holding me back because
understood.
Of,
understood.
Dave, probably this is Dave's worst nightmare.
He's listening right now. He's
being
like,
on the air.
Shut
saying,
your mouth.
Yeah,
shut your mouth,
right.
Gus.
That's
wink
right.
Once.
You got
if.
Rule number one, right? Protect the team. And so, but it is exciting. We just, you know, we'll see how it plays out. We'll find out more early next week when we can start having conversations.
Early next week, maybe a big splash on the first. That's me saying that, Gus. But I mean, look, it's hard for me to be in this building with Tony every day and not get caught up in that as well. We think about it. We have the wish list of names, and I was joking with Tony the other day. We're talking about like the 10 biggest free agent names out there. After next week, we probably won't mention a bunch of them ever again on this broadcast.
Well, I think the big thing is you operate on faith. You know, I think that you go through it, and to me, it's that sense of competing. Let's compete now. We're in this. You're right. We do have some salary cap money. So let's really take a good hard look at this, and then let's see what happens. But all our efforts and everything is going after it.
Money's a big part of the picture, but having a place where guys can come in, talk to some of your veterans, and have them say, man, this is a great place to play. You
well,
want to be part of this.
You're right. You know what? If you're getting somebody, and I know it's the NFL and the business, but if you're getting somebody to come in here just for the money, that's hard. You know, you hope that you understand that they're coming in because of that. That's a big factor. But you also hope you bring people in that believe what you believe. Because if they're coming in with you believe, if they believe what you believe, they're going to put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. And that's the type of people that we're looking for as well.
How tough is that to judge and to figure out? Is it just as important to talk to people around that guy as talking to him directly to really get the true sense of what a player's all about?
But, you know, you talk to coaches, and these coaches, they want to keep these players. So, you know, he's not very good. He's lazy. You know, and it might be, you know, a roundabout way they're telling you that because they want to keep them. So I think you know the player, and you gather as much information as you get. We have a rule, a 90-10 rule. Get 90, give 10, you know, to try to get as much information as you can. But, you know, you look at their product on the tape and, you know, how they look and how they compete, and you try to figure out mostly through that.
All right, still awaiting Maurice Jones-Drew. We're in communication with him. He's coming up here, I believe, in a couple minutes. We're going to take a quick timeout. Is that what we're going to do? I don't know if you can hang out, Gus, or not.
I'll always wait for Mojo.
Well, you're a good man. I knew you were going to wait for me, and I wouldn't blame you a bit. So let's take a quick timeout and hopefully come out of the break with Maurice Jones-Drew. Is he doing right now? All right, so he's calling right now. So we'll keep it right here, and we'll let this thing flow. This is live radio.
He actually just told me he's going to call me right back, so he said he had an interview that went over.
All right, he had an interview that went long. Doesn't he understand his priorities out there? Man, this guy thinks he's a national figure now. He's a free man. I guess, job offers, who knows what's coming his way. So he's calling you back now, Ty, or are we going to break? We just keeping it right here? I think Tyler's probably talking to him on the phone right now. So
he said about 10 minutes.
All right, 10 minutes. All right. Well, I tell you what, Gus, if you can hang out, that's great. If you can't, we understand. But we appreciate you popping in to spend a few minutes with us. Good luck spending Shad's money, you and Dave, next week. Should be fun. And we were saying as well, no matter who you get, you can get the top three guys on your board. There are going to be a few out there to say, but they didn't get him.
Right,
so it's, you know, sometimes it's thankless, but we're excited about the direction everything's headed. If you can hang out, fantastic. But if not, we appreciate the time and good luck next week.
Okay, thank you so much.
There he goes. Gus Bradley, head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars here on 1010XL. We'll effort Maurice Jones-Drew coming up in just a couple of minutes on the other side. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Maurice Jones-Drew breaking it back. And Maurice Jones-Drew. Jacksonville, and the Jags are right back in it as the little dynamo goes 80 yards on his first carry of the day. Maurice Jones-Drew ran through the whole defense, and you'll see here it's the pitch. He cuts it up inside. One missed tackle there by Finnegan. Then another missed tackle there, and another missed tackle. Donnie Nicky can't get him down either. He cuts back inside. I mean, nobody can grab this guy. He proved a lot of people wrong in the NFL. He wears 32 because 32 teams passed on him in the draft because he was short. But I'll tell you what, that guy can play.
November 1st, 2009, Maurice Jones-Drew, 80-yard touchdown run. That was the play call right there. And
your favorite guy.
What?
That was Gus.
That was Gus, I know. Not our Gus. That other Gus.
Started, I watched your eyes almost roll like
Gus Johnson. Well, that was... See,
come
that,
back to the NFL,
that's how
Gus.
You
we
call,
miss you.
That's how you should call an 80-yard touchdown, okay, with that level of enthusiasm.
Ow!
That's not how you should call... a throw-in that Team USA just won, or whatever soccer team Gus Johnson was calling games for. Everything he does is over the top.
I was just about to ask if you guys had ever heard him call soccer.
I was about to say, I didn't think he was as enthusiastic at all.
Was he not? I honestly, I don't know what he did.
He started out like really, really bad like that, and it eventually tapered down once he realized that not every pass in the box is going to be a goal.
Right. I mean, yeah, it was a weird pairing to begin with in a sport that doesn't have a whole lot of scoring. I just think Gus Johnson's a little over the top. That's neither here nor there. Gus Bradley stepped out for a minute. But now, Maurice, I think, tweeted at him. I think he may be talking with Dan Patrick right now, but he's going to join us here coming up in a couple of minutes from California. And Gus Bradley will pop back in. By the way, I don't know how much we really need to recap the top five today. I think most people's top five included Jimmy Keenan,
right.
Mike Peterson, quite often Leon Searcy. A few other names got mentioned in there. Some love for Kyle Brady. In there, Tony, you mentioned Gary Walker. Several others did as well. Some more than Derek Marks. Derek Stewart said, beside the obvious, Reggie Hayward and Aaron Campman were great value and talent, just weren't able to stay on the field. We were just talking about Hayward a minute ago. Had he not torn his Achilles, I think he would have turned out to be one of the better free agent signings.
Even with the Achilles tear, he was still good.
Solid player.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was still good.
He was unbelievable. So often teams see guys that they can't handle, and that puts that thought, it's the last thing you saw this guy was him absolutely dominating, and he did that. I want to say he had like a 3-sack game against the Jags.
He killed the Jags.
Right? Early in the season, the year before he signed. And
he got Bobby McCray paid, though.
Yeah.
He funneled a lot of those guys right to Bobby McCray.
No, he this did, is and true. A guy I haven't seen mentioned today, and honestly, when I was just putting together my list of guys, if it had been a top 8 or 9, probably would have wound up in my list, is Paul Spicer.
He was a free agent.
And I didn't see him mentioned once, but that's a guy, again...
We love you, Spice.
He benefited from what was in the middle of that defensive line for all those years, but there haven't been a lot of guys that could get after the passer in this city for the past decade, and they certainly haven't found a ton of them via free agency.
Still trying to replace Tony Bracken.
Right, and Spicer was one of those guys who could, there for a very short period of time here in Jacksonville, but was a really good player.
Gus Bradley will be back in a minute, it seems like. Obviously, he really did have half a panicked expression when I brought up who he's signing next week. He looked at Ryan. I told you, Ryan Robinson brought him down the hall to us here. Obviously, he's not going to give it away. It's got to be fun, though, I would think. As much fun as it is for us.
It's probably killing him inside, actually, to not be able to talk about it.
They're pretty good about keeping it close to the vest, though, aren't they?
They are. They're fantastic at it.
And so just because you know, whether you see a team's name associated, like you see a lot of reports, Jag's going to be a major player for Sue. I think that's why I think it's more speculation. They may, in fact, be a major player for Sue.
But there's nothing.
Nobody here is going to tell you that, you know?
Nobody here around here knows anything about that.
Right, so. And that's the way it should be. While we got a couple of minutes before we get Maurice on the line here, what do you think in terms of the first couple of days? You do expect, you know, whether it's Sue, whether it's Cobb, whether it's Thomas, whether it's McCourty, whether it's Bulaga, you name the top 10 guys, I think one or two of those guys at least will be Jags.
I think by the end of Wednesday, they'll have at least two guys.
Two new,
at least two
big-time
guys.
We were talking about this earlier a little bit, too. Jaguars Thursday last night, Jeff Lagerman mentioned Jeremy Parnell as an interesting...
Yeah, it's been a name that's I've heard quite a bit
Right tackle for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think if they do sign an offensive lineman, it's going to be that type of guy. I don't think they're going to go after a Bulaga or something like that. I think they'll go kind of mid-level, compete for the starting job. If he doesn't get it, he's a good backup type.
Right. I think, you know, Parnell, who came in and played for Doug Free last year, and some people think maybe even played better than Doug Free did last year. Pretty attractive guy, you know, young guy.
I think he's only 27.
Yeah.
For
a lineman, you can play a long time when you're 27 years old. And honestly, what are you looking for more than the next 4 years, really, when you bring him in? So, look, they're not going to get every big name that you'd like. I think Bulaga would be fantastic, but they've got to do something at that spot.
Yeah, and I tend to think more they'll probably look in the early second or third round for an offensive lineman, more so than paying one in free agency. Because I got that, too. I got when we were talking about free agents before, how come no one's talking about center or right tackle? And, I mean, I don't know if they're going to go spend that money on center now that they got Bowanko and he's okay, but we'll see.
All right, let's welcome him in. A longtime Jacksonville Jaguar. 8 years here in Jacksonville, and as the highlight told you, and you've heard the story many times, wore number 32 because there were 32 teams in the league, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, who opted not to make him a first-round pick. The Jags smart enough to grab him in the second round and never look back, and he joins us now on Jaguars Today. Maurice Jones-Drew, congratulations on your career. Happy retirement. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Tell us what went into the thought process. Why is now the right time for you?
Well, I'm completely healthy. I started working out, I started training, getting ready for the season. And at the end of the day, I saw how it was kind of weighing on my children. I have 4 kids now, 3 dogs. It weighed on them a little bit too. That's a joke. But
I got
probably
you.
Didn't care.
I got
all right,
you. I went right over my
chuckle.
Head.
My bad. I'm sorry. But I've missed so many things with my kids, and they're growing so fast. I thought it was a great time to be able to retire. Last year, I was thinking about retirement last year. I know a lot of people didn't believe me, but that's kind of where I was. And I wanted to prove to myself one last time that I can play at a high level, and I thought I did that. You know, I came out to Oakland, earned a starting spot, and it broke my hand, and everything kind of went downhill from there. But as I was training this year, I don't think a lot of people understand what it takes to get yourself to a level to be able to perform, especially at the level that I was used to performing, and that means you have to have sacrifice. And so I was training here in the Bay Area, and I was probably like 2 weeks away from heading to Miami. And every year I go to Miami for about a month or two where I don't see my family, and you miss so many different things. And just talking with my wife and my agent and talking with my kids and seeing how it would affect them, you know, it's just something I didn't want to do anymore. And I'm okay with that. You know, it's I have football left and I can play, but I think now they've sacrificed 9 years of their lives, my wife 9 and my kids their whole life without having me around. I get a chance to be around now and be dad now and compete at that to be the best dad I can be.
Ashley gets you full time for the next year. She may want you to come out of retirement another year from now.
Yeah, well, I'm the plan now is to try to get into broadcasting and really kind of take that next step into that part of my life, which is obviously dissecting football and doing kind of talking about everything I learned. And she gets a chance to get a job as well. She wants to go back to work, which is awesome. You know, a lot of people's wives probably don't want to work, but this one wants to work. So I get a chance to do that. And then I get to take my kids to school.
Nice.
You know, I think that's to pick them up and tackle them and embarrass them and do the things that parents are supposed to do, you know. And that, I think that's going to be a fun time at that.
All right, we got Maurice Jones-Drew on the line with us on Jaguars Today. Obviously, you end your career in Oakland, a team you rooted for growing up. But here, and certainly I think nationally, you'll always be remembered for the 8 seasons you spent as a Jacksonville Jaguar. What are your favorite memories of your time here in Jacksonville?
You know what? I think someone asked me that. One of my buddies asked me that. Like, what is your favorite time? And really, to me, it was just working with those guys that I played with, those coaches, that whole organization in general. There's so many friends that I could call people true friends there that that I've made throughout my career. People in some tough positions, and they were able to, you know, help me through those things when I was younger. Obviously, I was a little hot and quick with the mouth and all those things, and they kind of worked with me through that, and I appreciate them for that. And really just the players that I played with, you know, to be able to play with some of those teams that I played on early in my career and then some of the ones I played on late. You know, we're still friends. We talk every day. I text with all those guys yesterday. That's the biggest thing to me. That football, the part of football, I mean, that was great, you know, but to create those relationships with those people and be able to continue those going forward, that was the favorite part about playing in Jacksonville, especially just the people outside of the building, too, that I met and that we were able to create relationships with. I mean, the reason I'm one of the best golfers in my community right now, that's a joke, too.
Yeah, I was, right? You live in a bad community, bro.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, I've learned so much. I grew up so much in Jacksonville. I mean, my kids, they talk about it all the time. Obviously, we're going to come back and retire as a Jaguar. My kids, they always want to go back to Jacksonville, and that's where we'll make a couple trips out there. And I think that, you know, it's just something that when you spend that many years in a place like that with the people that supported me throughout a lot of hard times and some tough situations, I think you know, they do it the right way there. And I know Gus and Dave are the right people to bring them back a championship that I never could do. But I've always been a Jaguar fan. Even when playing for Oakland, I was always texting guys like, why are you doing this? That's not what we talked about you doing, and those type of things. So I'm always going to be a Jaguar fan. Actually, my kids are wearing Raiders and Jaguar stuff to school today, so they're all amped up as well. So it just shows you how much love we have for Jacksonville and their fans.
Still to this day, I think you see as many number 32 jerseys as just about anybody that you've got in the stands. Quickly, your reaction to how the fans treated you over the years here.
You know what? It makes me speechless. You know, I tried to play the game the way that I was always taught, which is as hard as you can. And always encourage people and try to give people every bit of hope, because in our society, that's what we need. And to see the people embrace me that way, I know I was quick at the mouth as a young, and I keep saying that because I was reading some of these quotes in these papers that I've kind of stacked over the years. Like, why would I say something like that? But
that's a good point, Mojo. That's right. A good point,
yeah,
man.
I knew you were on here.
I just got on.
I'm trying to eat the. They're trying to feed me steaks, Gus. I can't allow it. I'm allergic.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's so good to hear your voice. How have you been?
I'm doing great. Well, first of all, congratulations. I know when I heard the news, you know what, Mojo, I was telling everybody, you just reflect. You know, you go back and all the conversations we had, and I remember the first team meeting. Remember?
Yeah,
you know, you came
remember.
Down from the weight room and sat in my office, and I mean, you just go through all of it. It feels like, you know, like a lifelong of memories, and we were together for, you know, a year, and you know, it's just amazing, you know, how many people you've touched and how much impact you've had in this city and for this organization, but really everywhere you go, you know. So
I appreciate it. Well, you remember, man, I was going to say this. I was going to tell them to tell you. Now my mission is to compete at whatever it is at the next level. I'm going to compete. I'm going to be a dominant competitor.
I know. That's what I was going to say. How you doing, you dominant competitor?
I've got to be a dominant competitor. I have no choice. You know what's funny about this, guys? I've been around a lot of great coaches. I've been around a lot of great coaches in my career. But when I was I coach these high school kids now, and I tend to find myself saying, you're just a survivor. You're just a competitor. You're not dominant. You don't want to be the best that you can be. And then those are things I learned from Gus. And you know, like I said, you guys just be patient with them, because I know you guys have the right people in place to win a championship. I've been around a lot of people, a lot of coaches, obviously two organizations, and you guys are doing it right there. So I'm happy.
Well,
I'm happy that I got a chance
Mojo.
To speak with you.
Where are you calling? What restaurant are you calling from? That's the
big
question.
I'm not calling from any. I'm at the house right now. I'm in my underwear playing destiny. That's what they say you're supposed to do the first couple of weeks is just get away. So I just said, you know what?
And this is different how than what you were doing prior to.
Hey,
retirement.
We're on the Radio Mojo. This isn't Evi talking, right?
That's how I feel with you. I talk to you the same way around the whole world if it has to. It doesn't matter.
No, that's great.
You know what? This is going to be new. It's going to be exciting. I think you always told me the future is exciting because you don't know what it has for you, and you can go out there and make it whatever you want.
You know, like we always say, good news is coming your way. You know, it's I always told you what my mom told me. You know, something good is about to happen, and there's no doubt that's the same with you, Mojo. Your attitude and your infectious personality. And, you know, it was every day. And I know I fed off you. And you just have a unique way of touching people in that manner. And I'm really excited to see, you know, what new ventures out there for you. And, you know, because I know you're going to compete at it.
That's the only way I know how to do it. And remember, I'm still waiting for my dinner date at Emerson McDonald's.
I know.
So when I call you.
He called me one time, and I was we talk about eating crumbs, you know. And he said, where are you? I said, I'm at the McDonald's on Emerson, man. It's the only place I'm comfortable.
Oh, that's right. Or the what is it? I forgot the place. The Popeyes on North Main. One of those two.
Yeah. We'll that's be on the lookout for you at both of those spots. When are you going to next be in Jacksonville? When can you imagine yourself in this neck of the woods again?
You know what? I really don't know. We're working on that right now. I'm working with Ryan Robinson right now on when to come back. I want to come back before, though, and see some of those practices. And I know me and Gus have talked because we have a secret hopefully coming here in the near future. But I'm gonna try to get back out there while they're at OTAs and just talk to people and come back and see. You know, Mike beat you in a little bit of golf while I'm out there.
You can try.
Yeah, I actually shot pretty well yesterday for the first time. It was like 95, so that's decent.
Yeah, you're a lot more realistic these days.
He's at peace.
Gus, wherever he goes, I learned a long time ago, if I hitch my wagon to Maurice, it's going to take me a long way. So I'm looking forward to season 7 of radio with you next year.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That definitely will happen. And I know when I get a hold of Gus, man, I got to make sure he's doing it the right way because, you know, I starting to see your all these bobbleheads pop up and all this Gus Bradley on TV.
I was like,
somebody's starting to believe the hype. You got to eat crumbs.
No, that's right.
Hey,
Mojo, you're great.
Maurice, Gus is going to keep the secrets here as well he should, but if you happen to have Ndamukong Suh's number and you want to make a call in the next few days on our behalf, or Randall Cobb, or any of those other guys, you feel free to do that, all right? We'll be happy to have your services.
Oh, I know Gus is going to pick the right people.
Of course
he
will.
That's what really matters. It's not the best all the time. It's the right people that you want in that locker room. And like I said before, I know Gus and his staff and Dave, they're going to pick the right people. And again, like I told you, man, I'm looking at a Jaguar sweater right now, just walking around with the 32 jersey on. So you guys know at least you got 5-6 fans here in California rooting for you guys.
All right, man. Well, you got a lot more than that right here in Jacksonville. Wishing you and your family the best going forward. I'm sure you saw a lot of that outpouring on social media yesterday. We appreciate it. We know you're a busy man. You know, we're glad you could fit us in for a couple
minutes.
No,
I always can fit you guys in. It was Ryan's fault. Blame Ryan.
Yeah, genuine appreciation.
Gus
that's
is
right,
the closer.
Man.
Gus is the one who got this done, all right? Maurice, we'll see you when you make it back to Jacksonville. Hopefully we'll talk soon. And again, congrats. What a great career, man. And congrats that you could go out on your own terms.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Gus, I'll call you a little bit later, all right? Don't send me the voicemail this time.
No. Hey, Mojo, you're a class act, man.
I enjoyed all of it
and wish your family the best as well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, buddy. We'll see you, Maurice. Gus, thank you for stopping in again. Appreciate you.
No problem. Good luck.
Good luck this weekend,
thank you. Getting ready for
free agents. There he goes. The head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, longtime Jaguar running back, Maurice Jones-Drew. Final thoughts, guys, on that? Glad we went a little bit long there. Hope XL Primetime understands.
Yeah, I've been doing sports radio for a while now. That is among the coolest things that I've experienced.
Yeah.
Watching a former head coach talk to a player that's one of the best in a franchise as he's walking out the door is pretty darn awesome. That
clearly
was
clearly have
special.
An affinity for each other that seems pretty
sure.
genuine.
And by the way, there is a little bit of news as we're walking out the door.
Yes.
The Redskins have re-signed Niles Paul.
Oh.
He is off the
Jerks.
Market.
Cheers. It's all right. Julius Thomas will scoff at him. All right. And if Julius signs somewhere else, then I'll cry a single tear. Maurice, I wasn't kidding. Call in Dominick Sue, please, if you have any say. Alfie, final thoughts with free agency opening up next Tuesday.
I would expect a lot of rumors this weekend because they can start talking to guys this weekend, legally tamper, even though they're probably tampering right now.
You can sort through all the rumors and all the scuttlebutt at bigcatcountry.com.
Yep.
Follow Alfie on Twitter, of course, at AlfieBCC. Thanks for coming in today, man. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right. We appreciate Maurice Jones-Drew checking in on the day after he announces his retirement. Of course, we got two segments with the head coach of the Jaguars, Tony. That's not bad. Got a little bonus Gus Bradley today. Appreciate him stopping in. So for Alfie, for Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, and for Gus Bradley and Maurice Jones-Drew, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next. It has been a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.